Chapter 8. When I went out onto the deck, I could see the open ocean. Nemo couldn't be sure that we had made it to the South Pole until midday. When he was sure we were there, Nemo took the Nautilus to a small island that was only 10 miles away. Beyond the island, there was a large piece of land that looked like a new continent. Nemo was the first one to set foot on the new land. I had never seen him on land before, and he seemed to enjoy being on land again. We spent hours exploring the new land. There wasn't very much there, except for a lot of birds flying around and an awful lot of penguins. After a few hours, we came across a penguin nesting ground where thousands of penguins were all huddled together with eggs resting on their feet. Nemo and the crew shot some of the penguins to take back to the submarine for food. It began to snow just after lunchtime, so we all went back to the Nautilus. The next day, Conseil and I went out to explore more. We walked around the island and found some seals. Conseil was glad that Ned had stayed at the Nautilus, as he thought that Ned would have killed everything in sight. I didn't think that he would have killed everything, but I knew that Captain Nemo would have been upset if Ned had killed anything. He never spilled the blood of innocent creatures without a good reason. We sat down and watched the seals playing. We also saw some walruses coming to join them. When it got to midday, we went back to the Nautilus and found that Nemo was on land again. He was waiting for the sun so that he could record the position of the island on his maps. After we had lunch, Conseil and I went to gather some specimens from the island. The next day, the sky was finally clear and Nemo was able to record the position of the island. He was also able to find the South Pole. Nemo told me about all the men that had tried to make their way to the South Pole before, and that he was the first man to have managed it. "I claim this part of the world in my own name," Nemo said. He pulled out a small black flag with an N on it and stuck it into the ground. Now that we had found the South Pole, Nemo was ready to leave Antarctica. With everyone back on board the submarine, we went back below the ice. As we were sailing under the ice, the Nautilus hit something and got stuck on its side. Conseil and Ned met me in the museum and we tried to work out what had happened. We were talking about it when Nemo came into the museum. He looked so worried. "I am sorry to say that the Nautilus is trapped in a chunk of ice, and the ice has now turned over," Nemo told us. We were stuck until Nemo could free us from the ice. Nemo had the steel panels of the museum slide back to show how much trouble we were in. The submarine was stuck in a tunnel of ice. The lights on the Nautilus were bouncing off the ice and showing the most beautiful display of colours that I had ever seen. Men were not born to see such great and mysterious things. Only God should see them, Ned said, as we watched the lights, and I thought he was probably right. Eventually, the Nautilus began to move. We were now going backwards. Instead of trying to go through the ice, we were trying to go back the way we had come. I tried to take my mind off the danger we were in by reading a book. The steel plates in the museum had closed so that we couldn't see what was going on. The whole submarine shuddered as it hit something else. Now, I was very scared when Captain Nemo came into the room. "We are trapped, gentlemen. There are two ways of dying now. We can suffocate as we run out of air, or we will be crushed by the ice," Nemo told us. I knew that there was enough air in the submarine for the next 2 days, but the captain wasn't sure that he could get the submarine free by then. The crew went out to try and break all the ice with pickaxes again. Nemo had split the crew into groups so that we could all go out and keep working at breaking the ice. When one group was tired, another group took over. I knew that even if we were able to break free of the ice, we still had to find our way to the surface. I also knew that new ice could form while we were working, and the Nautilus could still be crushed by the ice. We were running out of air and only had one more day to get out of the ice and back to the surface before we would all suffocate. It was then that Nemo had a brilliant idea. "Boiling water!" he cried. Nemo set the crew to work pumping out boiling water into the sea to stop new ice from forming around the submarine. We had one problem solved, but we still only had a day to reach the surface. I was starting to feel weak, and Conseil wished that he could breathe less so that I could have more air. We were down to only 2 hours of air when the Nautilus finally broke through to the surface. The crew opened the hatch so that fresh air could get into the submarine. Now that the danger had passed, Ned wanted to talk about escaping again. We were heading north again and back towards civilization. We didn't know where we were going. It could have been America or Asia. We found out a few days later that we were heading to South America. We had now travelled 16,000 leagues and were off the coast of Uruguay. We went down to the ocean floor, and when we next came to the surface, we were at the mouth of the Amazon River. We came across a group of manatees that the crew and Ned went out to hunt. After we had filled the submarine with manatee meat, Nemo taught us how to go fishing for sea turtles. When we had caught all the food that Nemo wanted, we left the mouth of the Amazon and went back out to sea. We carried on going north until we reached the Gulf of Mexico. We had now travelled 17,000 leagues, and Nemo was showing no signs of ending our journey together. I now saw less and less of Captain Nemo. It seemed that he had lost interest in showing me his undersea world. But I was too busy with my book to be bothered by this. I spend most of my days looking at the undersea world going by and making notes with Conseil's help. Ned came and sat with us sometimes. When we reached the Bahamas, Ned noticed a bunch of squid caves, and we could see a bunch of squid moving around amongst the seaweed. Conseil began to talk about the legendary sea monster, the Kraken. It was a giant squid that pirates had talked about sinking ships for centuries. "I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a few monsters here," Ned said. He didn't believe in the Kraken or any of the other tales of the sea. He was a sailor, but he was a practical man too. I told Conseil and Ned about the records that had been made about giant squids with huge tentacles. None of them had ever been caught, though. We were all so busy talking that we didn't notice the giant squid outside the window. "What a frightening beast!" Ned cried when we saw it. I began to draw it straight away. As I was drawing, another 6 giant squid appeared. I was so busy drawing that I didn't notice Captain Nemo had joined us. "A curious collection of squid that we are going to fight hand to hand," Nemo said. The electric guns that Nemo had on the Nautilus didn't work on the skin of the squid, so we had to fight them with harpoons. Ned was very excited about fighting the monsters. The submarine got to the surface, and one of the squid ripped the hatch off before we could open it. One of the tentacles came down into the submarine, and Nemo cut it off with an axe. 2 more tentacles came into the ship and pulled one of the crew out of the ship. Nemo, Ned, and the crew rushed onto deck to try to save the crewman that the squid had taken. The man was crying for help as the crew and captain fought the monsters. They cut off tentacles and threw harpoons. It was a fierce battle. Ned was knocked over by one of the squid, and it started to drag him towards its mouth. Nemo jumped in to save him, cutting the squid's mouth and stabbing it through all 3 of its hearts. Ink and squid blood was sprayed over the crew, the Nautilus, and the sea. The man that had been taken was dead, but the battle was over. Nemo was crying over the lost crewman. "Thank you for saving me," Ned said to Nemo. "You are welcome. I owed you for saving me from the sharks," Nemo replied. The captain was upset for days. The Nautilus didn't move for 10 days. Instead, it was a plaything of the waves. After the 10 days, we moved into the Gulf Stream that ran from Florida to the North Atlantic. There were many interesting fish in the warm water of the Gulf Stream. Everything on the submarine had changed since the squid had attacked. I realized that we were only 75 miles off the coast of North Carolina, and there was no lookout set on the submarine. The idea of escape flashed across my mind, but before we could do anything, the weather turned against us. Ned was going mad being so close to his homeland and not being able to reach it. He made me promise that I would talk to the captain about our freedom as soon as I saw him. I decided not to wait until Nemo next appeared. Instead, I went to his cabin. I knocked on the door and opened it without waiting for Nemo to answer the door. But Nemo didn't want to talk to me. He was working on creating a summary of all the studies he had made in his life and writing down all of his stories. He was storing them in a watertight container that was going to be released into the ocean by the last surviving crewmen on the Nautilus. I wanted to read what Nemo had written, but I was there to ask for our freedom. But the moment I mentioned it, Nemo refused to talk about it. "We made a deal," Nemo told me. "But you are treating us like slaves," I cried. "This is my ship," Nemo said. "Well, we never agreed that we wouldn't try to escape," I replied. "That is true," Nemo agreed. "Ned can't stand being on the submarine anymore. If you won't let us go, I am afraid that he will do something desperate." "I will say no more," I told him. "Ned can do whatever he wants. I never want to talk about this ever again," Nemo said, and left me alone in his cabin. The captain no longer treated me like a friend after this. I went to see Ned and Conseil to tell them what had happened. Ned's only thought was to try and escape. The Nautilus was getting closer to Long Island, and Ned wanted to leave the ship, no matter what. The weather got worse again as a hurricane buffeted the sea. It was nothing that the Nautilus couldn't handle, but it still dived back beneath the waves to where it was quiet until the storm had passed.